Radio City Talk.
The A to Z of Merseyside football.
So let's get into the A to Z of Merseyside football. John Keith is currently on the letter H. We've covered off various luminaries, the Hansons of the world, the highways and much, much more. But we've still got a few to go in the letter H. Morning to you, John.
Good morning, Steve. Yes, we've got a lot to go yet. I think painting the fourth bridge would be quicker than doing this A to Z, but it's very enjoyable. Now, until the emergence of Roger Hunt and Ian Rush in the latter part of the 20th century, Liverpool's preeminent goal scorer was the South African star Gordon Hodgson, and what an all-round sportsman he was. He also played cricket for Lancashire as a fast bowler, appeared for Everton Baseball Club, his big hitting style even drawing comparison with the legendary American star Babe Ruth, and became the first manager in English football born and bred overseas when he took charge of Port Vale in 1946. Hodgson was born in Johannesburg in April 1904 to British parents and was a boilermaker by trade, but his football talents and those of goalkeeper Arthur Riley were spotted by Liverpool when the pair were members of the South African amateur international side that toured the UK in 1925, playing friendlies against England, Ireland and Wales. Liverpool snapped up both of them before the tourist returned home, the first of a batch of Springboks to play for the club. Riley, will feature later in this A to Z, spent 15 years at Anfield, while Hodgson spent a dozen record-breaking, goal-filled years at the club. Standing 6 feet 1.5, broad shoulders and weighing more than 13 stone, he was a powerful menace to opposing defences, making his Liverpool debut aged 21 in a 1-1 draw at Manchester City in February 1926. Hodgson opened his goal account a fortnight later with a brace in a 3-3 draw at Manchester United. The Old Trafford attendance, incidentally, a barely believable 9,214. Cool. More a desert of souls than the Theatre of Dreams.
Right.
On 7 occasions during the next decade, he scored more than 20 goals in a season, twice breaking the 30-goal barrier, and did so playing predominantly as an old-style inside forward in the number 8 jersey rather than a front-running centre-forward. So as such, he had to create chances for the likes of Dick Forshaw and Harry Chambers, as well as for himself. Underlining Hodgson's talent was the fact that his goal plundering came during an era that was one of the less glorious in Liverpool history. In 1928-29, he hit 30 league goals, but his most productive season was 1930-31, when he scored 36 goals in 40 league appearances, including a club record 4 hat-tricks in the old First Division. That total was unbeaten by any Liverpool player for more than 30 years until Hunt hit 41 in 1961-62, but that was in the Second Division promotion year. The following January of 1932, Hodgson was again the toast of Liverpool fans in a dramatic FA Cup third-round clash against Everton at Goodison, the first time the clubs had met in the competition since 1911. Dixie Dean took just 15 seconds to put Everton ahead, but after Gordon Gunson's equaliser late in the first half, the outcome was still in the balance when Hodgson struck a 75th-minute winner to the joy of the red half of Merseyside. His popularity was such that one biscuit seller decided to name his homemade ginger nuts Hodgson's Choice.
God, where'd you get all this from?
And although he never won silverware with Liverpool, he did add 3 England caps and 2 outings for the Football League to his earlier international outings for South Africa. During the close seasons, Hodgson's sporting skills found an outlet in cricket and baseball. He joined Oral Cricket Club in 1927, making an immediate impact by taking 56 wickets at a cost of only 2.57 runs each, which earned him, not surprisingly, a successful recommendation to Lancashire. He made his county debut, fittingly, at Egbeth against Essex in July 1928 and played for them until 1933, helping them win the county championship in 1930 and 2 years later taking 50 wickets. Overall, he took 37 catches. When he left Liverpool for Aston Villa in a £3,000 move in January 1936, Hodgson had scored 241 goals in 377 appearances, leaving him third on the all-time Liverpool list, behind Rush, 346 from 630, and Hunt, 286 from 487, neither of whom matched Hodgson's sizzling average of a goal every 1.5 games. And Hodgson's 36 league goals in 1930-31 still stands today as the most by a Liverpool player in a top-flight season. He also bagged 17 top-flight hat-tricks, still a club record, the quickest of them taking 25 minutes against Derby County at home in January 1927. After leaving Anfield, his spell at Villa spanned only 13 appearances before he moved to Leeds United, playing for them until the outbreak of war. When he hung up his boots to become coach at Elland Road, he'd scored 295 league goals in 467 outings. Some 288 of those goals came in 454 top-flight outings, a total surpassed in the history of English football only by Jimmy Greaves, Steve Bloomer and Dixie Dean. In October 1946, Hodgson was appointed manager of Port Vale, a post he held until his tragically early death at the age of 47 in June 1951. But his remarkable feats will live on in the record book, so certainly one of the greats of Merseyside football.
Yeah, without doubt, a footballing legend. You were talking about it as a goal record. It's just a shame that we haven't got this captured on film, isn't it? When did video records start?
Video records came in way in after this, long after the Second World War, you see.
Yeah.
We haven't got Dixie Dean, only fleeting glances on Pathé News.
Well, it's such a shame when you're talking about someone like that. Putting him third in the all-time record list.
I know. And you just wish you could see them in action, don't you, Steve?
Oh, and what's this Everton baseball club that you're on about at the start? Babe Hodgson.
Well, there was a famous Everton baseball club. Dixie Dean played baseball as well, by the way. Yeah, he played for them too. And baseball was very popular in the 1920s and 30s. Obviously, here it's gone down the list of popularity a bit. But clearly, Hodgson was just an all-round sportsman.
Yeah. OK, let's shift on to one more name that you've got for us, John, today.
Yeah, Johnny Holt of Everton in England was at 5'4½", probably the last player you'd expect to fill the key role of centre-half during his era in the early years of English football in the 1880s. Yet, he could outjump opponents who towered over him, his athletic prowess accompanied by a sly, cunning streak that earned him the nickname the Little Devil. Holt's trademark was committing fouls on the blind side of the referee. Everton's own official history even admitted as much, stating that Holt was, quote, an artist in the perpetration of clever minor fouls, and when they were appealed for, his shocked look of innocence was side-splitting.
He was an actor.
Holt was born in the Blackburn district of Church in April 1865, and after playing for several of his local clubs, had a brief spell at Blackpool, then joined Bootle in 1887. The following year, he moved to Everton as the Football League came into existence, signing a contract for £3 a week, a sum in Victorian Britain equivalent to around £370 today. And he swiftly became a crowd favourite. He missed only one of Everton's 22 games to win the league title for the first time in 1890-91, the season when goal nets and penalty kicks were introduced, and made his debut in their first ever league game, a 2-1 home win over Accrington at Anfield in September 1888. Holt was also in the Everton teams beaten in the FA Cup finals of 1893 and 1897 to Wolves and Aston Villa, respectively. He became the club's first ever England international when he played against Wales at Wrexham in 1890 and went on to collect 10 caps, his last with Reading, who he joined in 1898 after making 252 Everton appearances, weighing in with 4 goals. His most memorable England display was against Scotland at Ibrox in 1892. One contemporary news report carried the Scotland boast that their star, Sandy McMahon, quote, was going to sand dance round Johnny Holt and carry the ball on his head from the halfway line and pop it into the English net. the actuality was very different. A match report stating, after England's 4-1 win, that little devil Johnny was all over McMahon. He climbed up and over him, brought him down to earth, and sand danced on him. So that was Johnny Hull. Clearly, again, you'd love to have seen him in action, Steve.
Fabulous name, the little devil. Thank you very much, John Keith, A to Z of Merseyside Football. It's back next week.
Radio City Talk. The A to Z of Merseyside Football.